Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
How Not to Suck at Divorce listeners, it's your captain speaking, and we've got some news for you.
Divorces are turbulent, and while we can't promise clear skies ahead, we can promise clear skies if you're concerned about an ex's alcohol use around your kids. Listen, I'm an attorney, and I recommend SoberLink. Why? Built-in facial recognition, tamper detection, real-time results, and court-admissible reporting. You can trust it.
I love that SoberLink is the only system designed to support both parents. Look, divorce does not have to suck so bad, and neither should co-parenting. Learn more and get $50 off your device by visiting www.soberlink.com/notsuck.
This is a tough one. Do you think that I can make this work? So then what do you do?
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Well, tonight, we are both coming to you live from closets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we were getting really fancy for a minute before we started this podcast. We were trying to, because we're so fancy lately, we were doing a whole new platform to record our podcast. And because we're so technologically disadvantaged, I would call us, it didn't quite work out. So now we're back to the old way, but we're still in the closet.
Still in the closet. Well, you've always been in the closet. You haven't left, but I am now in my closet where I've been recording from my office area, but in an attempt to be one with you, I have now succumbed to the corner of my closet. I'm not even in the cute part of my closet. So
I can see pink hangers though. Those are cute.
Pink hangers that are all out of whack. I'm sitting next to my hamper. If I were facing the other way, you'd see all my beautiful gowns and tulle skirts. But no, here I am next to my dirty, sweaty gym clothes.
Mm-hmm. At so least it's your dirty, sweaty gym clothes and not your son's dirty, sweaty gym clothes, which is what I'm dealing with. But regardless, you know what I'm over this week?
Oh, no. It gets worse than dirty, sweaty gym clothes.
It's about right up there. So there's something I have to get off my chest because I'm just so over it.
Oh my God, me too. Okay, scale of 1 to 10, how over it are you?
11, how about you?
12.
Okay, well then I gotta hear this. I'm over my own nasty disposition.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I've been a real bee this entire week to everyone, to anyone. And I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, it is not getting any better. I have been a raging bee.
Why? What's going on?
I don't know. I really don't know. And it makes me think, okay, you know what? There's probably a lot of our listeners out there that are also feeling the same way. But like, I have been so rude to people on email, on the phone, my own family. I'm nasty and I need to get it together.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the text messages that you and I exchanged earlier this morning.
So, which one?
You don't remember? No. You sent me something early this morning. It was like 7:30. I'm like, how are you already dressed and walking outside? And you're like, well, Oh, jeez.
I know. I started out like that. And you know, funny story. So this week I have a woman client in one of my cases, brand new case. And I served the husband with divorce papers nicely on email with a nice letter, et cetera. And out of the blue, the phone at my office starts ringing and it's the husband's name on the caller ID. So I'm like, could this be like, is this the husband calling? So of course, sure enough, leaves a message saying, hello, this is the husband. You've served me with divorce papers. Please call me back. So I'm like, what does this guy not understand? I said in the letter, you know, here's what to do. And, you know, we'll talk soon. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call this guy back. So I called him back and I was like, you know, hello. And he was like, hello, you served me divorce papers. So I was like, yes, I did. And I said, you know, and we just want to work things out amicably. Do you plan on getting an attorney? And he goes, yes, I do. And I was like, great. If you could just have them contact me, that would be great. He goes, I will do that. Click, hung up on me. So then I was like, okay, this is not a good week to mess with me because I am already at my crankiness. So then it gets better. So my phone starts ringing again. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Sure enough, it's the guy again that just hung up on me. And so I'm like, I was about to answer it and tell him what was up. But, you know, I took a deep breath. That's what we tell our listeners all the time. Take a deep breath. So I decided for the better of everybody not to pick up. And you know what? I got a voicemail. Do you know what the voicemail said?
No, no.
Voicemail said, Morgan, I just hung up on you. I just want to apologize for my behavior. I'm having a very bad day. And you know what? I felt bad about myself because I've been such a jerk all week. And this poor guy got served with divorce papers. He's having a horrible day, but he got it back together enough to apologize. So I'm going to take a play out of his playbook and get my life together. Be nicer.
Yeah. See? And maybe we'll help you. We're going to help you be a biff and not a bitch.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. So I'm over my nasty, yes, nasty disposition. No more.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you for sharing that with the class, Morgan. I think that was very brave of you. I think that, but honestly, not for nothing. I think it does take a lot to be able to like admit that we haven't been our best, you know? Yeah. Like it takes a lot to admit that like we're struggling and that we're having a hard time. And I commend you for that. And I commend all of our fabulous listeners who take that extra time to write to us and say, hey, I'm struggling right now. And I thought that I can handle all of this on my own, but I can't. And I'm binge listening to your show and you guys have helped so much and my attorneys helped so much, but I need more help. And I've got a burning question and I'm hoping that you guys can help. So that's what we're going to do today. Today's episode is all about the listener questions.
Exactly. Because you've got questions and we've got the answers.
Well, you've got the answers. I likely do not have the answers.
Okay. I've got the answers clearly, but you also do a great job at reading the questions over there.
Yep. Earning my keep. Okay. So why don't we get in to these questions, shall we? So the first question, I'm going to read it to everybody, came via email to us. And guys, this just means so much. When people take the time to send us like a full-fledged email, it's so nice. And it gives us more like ability to really like dig in and like read this and rethink it. So this person wants to know about parenting plans, and specifically parenting plans when, unfortunately, there is a restraining order or an order of protection in place. So this person says that they feel like they're being pushed around by the supervised visit social worker, and they're scared of a possible 50-50 parenting plan. This person, soon to be exed, was charged by DCF. I don't know what that means, but Morgan will explain. The person goes on to say that they have a really good attorney, but they feel like they're swimming in these waters on their own in the meantime. So what do you do? We're concerned about parenting. It sounds like the co-parent has supervised visits. And what the hell is a DCF?
So DCFS, at least in Illinois, is the Department of Children and Family Services. It's the people that basically get called in with an abuse allegation or something like that.
Oh, okay. So DCF is the same as our DCFS.
Probably, I would assume okay. So. So, you know, it's the state service that comes in when there's some kind of an allegation made. And usually with those kind of services, you know, anyone can make the allegation, which I do not ever recommend a client of mine making an allegation without talking to me first. Usually I don't ever get have allegations made. There's other ways to do it, and the right way to have an allegation, if it's truly an allegation, because remember, these allegations that come out, they really have to be serious, and they should not be taken lightly at all on either side. So a therapist, a doctor, a school personnel, they're all mandatory reporters, at least in Illinois. So if they hear something, they will report you. And then this whole case opens up. And in our state, DCFS determines whether something has been founded or unfounded. Founded basically means they feel that you're guilty or the person is guilty in doing something. And unfounded means, you know, the opposite. So that definitely has another whole layer to a case. And it seems like this person has had an order of protection, which is a very serious thing in, at least in our state. And why is it serious? It's because it's an order, but it's unlike a normal divorce court order. It is an order that has criminal implications if violated. So if the order says you're not allowed to be within 500 feet of your children's school or your ex-husband's place of employment, and you show up there and come within 500 feet, the police can be called and there's usually an arrest made. So an order of protection is pretty serious. So let me back up. What do we think that she's asking? She's just worried that potentially these allegations may go away.
Well, it sounds like this person is concerned, is just feeling overwhelmed by everything. Part of the email states that they feel like they're being pushed around by the supervised visit social worker, and that they're also scared that once all of this is, like, you know, fleshed out, that there will still be 50-50 parenting.
Okay.
Now, obviously, like, we don't know all the other details of the case.
No.
It's going to be hard to give, like, you know, any kind of a ruling on here, but
let's dissect it a little bit more. So yeah. Maybe we can give some creative options since we don't really know what's going on. But if someone has an order of protection and or if there's supervised parenting time at all, there's a supervisor, and that supervisor is put in place by generally a court or some kind of an order. But there's the good news is generally there's a lot of different supervision facilities and also people that would be supervisors. So a supervised parenting personnel could be anybody from, you know, a trusted friend or family member that's approved by both sides. A hired person. A lot of times for our cases, we hire off-duty police officers that are not in a police outfit, but they're basically just the eyes and ears for the parenting time. And we pay them hourly to do it. And then there's facilities. So remember, the supervisor does not determine the case. And at the end of the day, if someone's on supervised parenting time and they are with the supervisor and their children, yes, they're going to be on their best behavior. They just are. And yes, that supervisor is probably going to feel for that person because they're on their best behavior. But remember, they don't, the supervisor doesn't see, it doesn't, that person is one person out of many, and it doesn't negate whatever got you that order of protection. It doesn't negate that behavior. So that's the first
layer. Supervisor, if you don't like, let's say, I mean, it sounds like the supervisor is having direct contact with the person who sent in this email. So maybe they're involved with scheduling. I don't know.
Some supervisors prepare reports. So they prepare reports at the end of each parenting time. And sometimes the reports are favorable to the person who is under the supervision, and sometimes they're favorable to the other person. Truly a good supervisor, in my opinion, is very neutral. And they're really only reporting on if the children are having a hard time or the person who's supervised is acting inappropriately. They should not be the judge. They should not be taking sides, et cetera. So if you get a report or continued reports where you feel that they're just being biased and, you know, not neutral, you could always talk to your attorney about seeing if you could get a new supervisor in place. So that's one way to do it.
Does the person who, how much interaction does the person, like from the side of the party who sent this email, how much interaction do they have with the supervisor? Like, are they communicating with this person directly, or are they really only just seeing the reports that they're putting together?
They're generally probably communicating at the beginning of the setup of the supervision to say, this is what happened, just to get comfortable. Also, they may be interacting when the children are picked up, because usually they're either transported there and then there's a handoff and they're talking to the person, the supervisor, or the supervisor is traveling at times in the car with the person who's under supervision. So generally the pickups or drop-offs, they may interact a little bit. So that could be, you know, you could say Johnny's having a hard time today. Johnny's not feeling well, you know, watch out for the nuts, whatever it is. That communication can generally happen. But, you know, I get what our listener is saying. She's feeling out of control. She's feeling like now there's another party that is, you know, interrupting the strategy and causing bumps in the case. And this person really doesn't know the family or the history, or maybe they're taking sides. It's an uncomfortable position to be in. But I will tell you that just remember, if you've got a good lawyer and you've got good facts behind you, at the end of the day, the supervisor is a paid supervisor. It's not the judge.
What about the concern of possible 50-50 parenting?
Again, I think that you have to take it baby steps, because if you have an order of protection, the likelihood of jumping from an order of protection to 50-50 custody, depending on the facts, is probably highly unlikely. And time only really heals in good behavior and getting help and those kind of things. And anyone listening to this could be worried about 50-50 at any point in time. So I think that for our listener who's worried, you just need to stay the course. You need to take it day by day. Like we always say, this is a marathon, et cetera. And if you allow your mind to jump to the absolute worst possible thing, the 50-50, if that's what the worst possible thing is, you're going to be stuck in mud and lose sight of what is in front of you.
Oh boy. Look, to the person who sent this letter to us, we feel for you. That goes without saying. You're in a tough spot. This is not easy stuff. And the stress that you must be navigating on top of just, you know, getting divorced. We can hear the concern that you have for the well-being of your child and just all of this. Make sure that in all of this mess that you are taking care of yourself. You've got to make sure that you're doing everything on your end to keep your mental health as healthy as possible.
And what I would say to our listener who sent this in, if your kids are of an age, you know, where they're not super, super little, and I don't know your ages of your children, always consider a therapist for the children, not only to get them through what they've been through, but because it goes to your second issue, which is 50-50. So if it's not in your children's best interest, you're going to have a therapist that's going to back that up. So no matter what the supervised parenting person or supervisor has to say, if a therapist does hold a lot of weight. So if it's truly not in your children's best interest, they will say it. And so that's a really big ally to have for your kids' mental health and going forward.
Well, in a divorce like this, I mean, doesn't this kind of get into like GAL territory?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And honestly, you know, she may be, or he may be looking at a custody evaluation at some point in the future if they can't settle it. And that's just kind of the end of the road when you really have jumped through every hoop and cannot come to an agreement on parenting time.
Oh, okay. Well, we're sending a lot of love and thoughts your way. So exactly. Thank you so much for writing to us. Let's go to our private community now on Facebook, because I've got another question for you, the totally different topic. This one says, how do you keep lawyers motivated to move your file forward rather than delaying or stall tactics that feel like excuses to keep charging you? Example, we have an example. An example, July 12th meeting takeaway was a four-way meeting to be set up between both counsels and my ex and myself. A month later, there is no date on the calendar and no progress has occurred. However, I have paid for a few emails from me asking for follow-ups and when the meeting is scheduled. I want forward progress and I don't know how to make that happen. What can I prepare? What can I send? And how can I make this as easy as possible for my lawyer?
All right. That's a good question. I like that question. Mm-hmm. Because there could be so many things happening behind the scenes, and it's frustrating when you don't get movement. So one of the things that could be happening behind the scenes is, and this happens a lot in my cases, and my clients get frustrated. We try to get a meeting together, and I've either got opposing counsel or opposing party dragging their feet, setting it up. They just won't commit to a date. They won't get a date. They're just going MIA. I can't get any response. That happens. But your lawyer should be telling you, like, I'm trying and I can't get them on, you know, to commit. So your question is a good one because you want to know what is a good thing to do. Well, I always think I'm a firm believer in getting in front of your attorney. And it's better to either set a phone call or an in-person meeting. There's no better gold standard than an in-person meeting, even if it's 25 minutes. Sit down with them, ask them for a strategy, ask them for, if there is no four-way meeting scheduled, demand that we move forward by filing something in court to start moving the case. Because when there's pressure in the case in court, which I don't like court, et cetera, that's not my favorite place for any case. But sometimes it's necessary to file a motion to get the wheels in motion to get people to sit down and come to the table. So you want to have your attorney's attention, not an email. You want to get a phone call. You want to ask them and what the strategy is. And you can say to them in the email, I would either like to come into your office or I would like to have a phone call about the strategy of my case and what our next steps are. Please let me know when you're available so that it's on the radar. Okay, from your lawyer, I got to move this forward.
Okay, and then once you have that meeting or that phone call, but can we give them like three things that they should walk away from that meeting with? So obviously the first one would be the strategy, right?
Yeah, so- the first and the strategy should be, if this happens, then we do this. So for instance, if I hear back from them, I'll try again. If I hear back from them, then we'll sit tight. We'll get the four-way going. If I don't hear back from them, give them a time frame. And if I don't hear back from them, I'm going to file this motion or I'm going to send this discovery. So you want to, if this happens, this happens. If this doesn't happen, this is what we're doing. You want that strategy done.
One of the, something else, so this would be like my second thing that I would want to know is, what is the first step we're taking? Because I think sometimes in these meetings, Morgan, so much information is like going back and forth and then you leave and you're like, well, now I don't even remember what's happening first. Like,
well, that's why I always, yeah. And I do this in my meetings and I think I found for my clients, it's very helpful. But if your lawyer doesn't do this, please ask them to do this. At the end of the meeting, say to them, can we just recap for 1 minute what exactly the main takeaways are of this meeting and write down the four or five main takeaways so that you know exactly where you're going.
And then the third thing that I would want to know is, when do I follow up with you next? Or when should I expect to hear from you? That way you've got like some date in your mind. And you're not, that way you also have a realistic expectation, right? Because if you don't ask that, what if it's something that takes 2 weeks and you're expecting to hear back from your attorney the next day?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's a tricky one because attorneys, a lot rides on other people. So, you know, it's like, I don't want to charge you either for following up, but that's just my job. That's what I have to do. If you send me an email, I have to respond and I have to charge you. And it pains me to do that when I have no information for you because opposing counsel isn't responding and I'm not getting any action there. So that's why it's almost better to say, okay, how much time are you going to give them to respond?
Okay. So
that, you know, and then, okay, if that doesn't happen, will you be preparing a motion or will you contact me? How will I know that what's happening there? I think that's the better way.
Okay. So that's really helpful to hear that from an attorney's perspective, because I'll tell you, like from the client's perspective, we just want to know, but we keep refreshing our emails and we're like, well, what is happening? And when, and I think sometimes we know in the back of our minds that they're waiting on something, but we also just want to know, like, and I think also because we have other people in our world that are asking us, well, what's going on with this? Right. And then we don't have an answer. And then right. That adds to our stress. We want to be able to say something. So what you just said is very helpful. Thank you to that question. And thank you so much for being in our private community.
And now a quick word from one of our sponsors.
You've likely heard of the co-parenting app, Our Family Wizard, but why consider using it?
I'll tell you that not only do I recommend it for high conflict divorce cases, but over 1 million parents and family law practitioners have used it as well.
Our Family Wizard organizes your expenses, calendars, and helps you send more effective and productive messages.
Effective, meaning without the unnecessary snark. I'm looking at you, Andrea.
I'm looking at you, Andrea. Okay, yeah, I would have benefited from Our Family Wizard's tone meter. So guys, don't suck at divorce like I did and go check out Our Family Wizard.
Okay, now I've got a question. The other day, this came up on one of our virtual meetings that we do in our community. We do a virtual meeting once a month. And someone in the group asked a question about nesting. And you all probably know we did a show on nesting last season with a woman who wrote a book about nesting, and she's a huge proponent of nesting. Okay. That being said, the person who asked about nesting is leaving, you know, obviously like an unhappy marriage. There's already like a little bit of trust issues and things like that. And there's a desire to nest because it seems like the easier from where they are right now, easier than we don't have to worry about selling the house and we don't have to worry about uprooting the kids. So basically the question was, is it, you know, do you think that I can make this work? And so I just want to give a little bit of attention to the topic of nesting again. I think, and this is my opinion, and you can step on this, Morgan, and tell me that I'm wrong, but my mic is on, so I'm going to say it. I think that it's very tricky to enter into a situation to nest with someone that you don't trust. If there's already trust issues, I completely understand the desire to not want to uproot your kids. My concern, though, is if you start nesting and it turns into a dumpster fire and the kids are experiencing so much more stress because of that, and then ultimately you got to stop and rip them out of the home. So what's your take on this?
You know, I'm not a huge fan of nesting, but I am a firm believer that every case is different and everything is different for every couple, meaning what works for them may not work for their neighbor. Mm-hmm. So I'm open to anything being tried if I think it's going to help the case. But I agree with you. When you said trust issues, I'd want to know what kind of trust issues. So I would want to talk through these issues with the client. So if it's something with regard to, let's just say that, you know, wife is is, I have husband, and we think that wife essentially is rummaging through husband's stuff or tapping his phone or, you know, watching where he's going. That is not a couple that should be nesting. That is not a couple where you're going to have privacy in a house. That's an absolute no-no for me. If it's more of just a, I'm upset with you kind of a thing, we just need to separate, we're not happy, maybe that's something different because they're not going to be together. It's just that we don't want people causing more issues to the kids. Agreed, Andrea. So, but what I do think could work is do a trial period. Do a trial period. Do it while the case is pending. Figure out, you know, 3 to 6 month period that works out. And if it works out, great. You can always extend it. If it doesn't work out, you know, and you're going to modify it and you're going to work through into something, I guess, that can work much better for your family.
Do nest, is there such a thing as like a nesting agreement? And does that get filed by the court? Or is it kind of like if you need the court to intervene, then you shouldn't be nesting in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would definitely want some kind of an interim or temporary court order while you're nesting, if you're going to try it out, just so that we know, everyone knows this is a trial period and we're going to see how it goes and reevaluate it. Sometimes we do those in mediation as well. It's just an agreement. And then we reevaluate. And I always put a reevaluation period. So for instance, if it's a 6 month period, I always have, and we're in mediation at 5 months, we're back in mediation because we're talking about how's it going? Is this going to extend or do we need to rework this whole thing?
And for those of you who are listening to this conversation and you're thinking, the fuck are they talking about? What is nesting? Nesting is a term that comes from another term, bird nesting, which is where the parents come and go from the marital home, but the children stay in the home. So when it's your parenting time, you are in the home with the kids. When it's not your parenting time, you are not in the home with the kids. So that's essentially that in a nutshell. Okay, speaking of kids, this is a tough one. This question came in a DM and it was about talking to the kids about getting divorced in the first place. So mom and dad are not on the same page about the divorce in general and talking to the kids. So then what do you do? How do you have that conversation? I mean, you sitting down together, if you're not on the same page and things are feeling really high conflict, then that could be a traumatizing conversation for the kids to be a part of, right?
Yeah.
So, but what else do you do? My first thought is you got to involve a therapist, but that's just me. I also know that that could be a traumatizing experience for the kids. So I don't know. What's your take on this?
So my first, I would say, gold standard take is if you have attorneys and you are high conflict, the best thing that I like to do is to get into mediation with a really skilled mediator. And we, with attorneys, work through how it's going to happen and who's going to say what. I mean, we even work through like lines. And you have an agreement that you're going to stick to the script. And we even work through, I've worked through even the granular details of, you know, when Joey asks X, Y, and Z question, which we know Joey's going to ask, who's going to respond and how are you going to respond? And so we've done those kind of things. Again, why do you put that much time in? Because it's all about the kids. You want them as unaffected as possible. So that is by far the best thing you can do. Sometimes we will involve a therapist in that process, but otherwise, if that's not where you're at, you don't have lawyers, you're not there, therapist is by far the next best thing to work through what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. You know, the third thing is I'd be really cautious about just coming out of the box and telling the kids without anything from your other side, meaning there's no discussion. It's not going to look good in court. It's never going to be perceived well by the children. It's definitely not going to be perceived well by your other spouse. And there's going to be a lot of hurt. And I will tell you this, that your children will never forget that conversation.
That's what my mind goes to.
That's it. And you may think, well, it's okay because I'm going to tell it like it is, or I'm going to spin it the way that I want the kids to hear before, you know, mom or dad say it on the other side. Nope. It's going to backfire on you. Trust me on that.
Okay. Last question. That kind of all on the same topic. Wanting to leave. We've been getting a lot of messages about this, actually. So I'm kind of going to summarize all of them. And it goes like this. I think I want to leave my marriage, but I feel like such an asshole because I'm not being abused. My spouse is not a bad person. I'm just not happy. And I don't know what to do. How do I know? It's almost a matter of like personal discernment, right? How do you know? And it's not the kind of thing that this is not a person who would even want to go to like true discernment counseling, where you kind of need to have both parties with one foot in the door of staying in the marriage. This is a person who's like, no, I'm pretty sure I want out, but I feel horrible about this. So it's more of like an emotional question. I don't know, like if there's really a legal action to this, but what have you seen with your clients who have gone through this?
Oh, this is such a loaded question. And I know, and I'm seeing how many people were getting comments on what we're posting, but I want to start with saying one thing. It's not criminal to be unhappy. It is not. And it's not criminal for you to feel like you may want something different in your life, or you may want better in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, Andrea and I'm definitely not the type of lawyer that ever promotes divorce if you think that you can live a happy life with your spouse.
Right.
That is not what I promote. But what I just did a video the other day, and what I said in it, because it was exactly on this topic, I said, listen, things change from the day you got married to now. Your priorities may have changed. Your interests may have changed. What you wanted on your day of marriage may be totally different than what you want today. And guess what? That is okay. That's okay. So I just want to tell people, if you're feeling like that, that is okay to feel like that. It's a gross feeling to have. There's a lot to work through, but it's okay. And on the flip side, I will say that a few things that you can think about to help you kind of think through whether that may be your decision. You know, Andrea always talks about this one time where she was basically circling the block in her car because she didn't want to go home.
Yeah.
Because she didn't want to go back to that relationship. Right. So if you are finding yourself avoiding your house, that's not your sanctuary, not wanting to go out and have fun with your spouse, or going out numerous times and it's just not fun. I think it's normal that relationships kind of ebb and flow. I think marriage is hard. And I think that there's a lot of times where, you know, you may not have much to talk about. So that's normal. But if it's consistent over and over, if you've got that gut feeling that something's not right and it just never goes away, no matter how hard you try, those are all signs that you need to look deeper into what's going on.
When you first started to answer the question, you said it's not criminal to feel unhappy. And I want to go back to that because I want to add to it. Whereas it's not criminal to feel unhappy, it is criminal to yourself to remain unhappy and not to look deeper as to why. It's not going to go away. And it might not be your marriage. It could be something else. It could be your job. It could be your friend group. It could be that something else going on in your world, but unhappy, it's going to follow you. It's going to stick with you if there's really something going on. So you do need to look at it. The other thing is it sucks. It does. Nobody wants to feel like the bad person. The other thing I'm going to tell you is that it takes two people to be in a happy marriage. So if you're not happy and satisfied, then likely your partner is not either. So I think that it's important to note that we don't carry 100% of the weight and the responsibility of making something work or dissolving the union. It's not just you. There's another person involved in this too. And it's okay. And you might feel like, I am such an asshole for doing this. It's going to get worse. you might feel like a dick right now and you might think, oh, I'm treating my spouse this way and that way. Think about how you might be treating your children. Just like how Morgan said at the top of this show that she's been feeling like she's been in a funk lately and hasn't been the kindest. How do you think you're going to feel months from now, years from now, if nothing in your world has changed? How do you think you're going to be treating all these people around you? And how do you think you're going to be treating your kids? Not to mention your kids are looking up to you as a role model for the relationships that they're going to have.
Yeah. And you know what? I think out of all my life that I've lived so far, I've learned it more than ever this year, just going through a few things that I have, that time is precious. Time is precious. And that is the one thing that we can't make money and get around. We can't negotiate around it. You have one life and one set of a time clock. And whenever yours runs out, you won't know. And so at the end of the day, I just want people to be happy and live their life to the fullest. And if you're not in a marriage or in a relationship where that's happening, you've got to evaluate why and do what you can to see if you can make it work and make it happy. Because I always say, you never want to look back with regret ever. So you do what you can to see if you can make it better. But if you can't, you've got one life and that clock is ticking. And so I'm seeing a lot of people, especially post-COVID, really reevaluating their life.
Oh, yeah.
And saying to themselves and to their family, like, is this what I want for my life? I've got one life. And there's nothing shameful about that. And I really applaud anyone who has a good spouse they're just not working out with, because it's a tough decision to make, especially if you've got a spouse who is, you know, a lovely human, but it may not be your right human for your life.
And that's okay. You have a lovely divorce. And maybe yes, after your lovely divorce, you go on to have a really happy, amicable, working relationship, co-parenting relationship. If you guys
are
together, look, let's strive for that. Okay. Let's recap, shall we?
Yep.
So we covered a lot in this episode, but now here comes the part where we're going to help you out if you were downing tequila shots during this conversation and you totally blacked out. If you remember nothing else from this episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce,
we just want you to remember this.
Why don't we go back to the question regarding the attorney and how to have a productive conversation? Because I think there's a lot there. So why don't we recap what you want to get from your attorney in order to keep your case moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great one. So our recommendation is, if you feel stuck in the mud, ask for a first in-person meeting and put in an email. I want an in-person meeting because I want to know the strategy and I want to have, you know, plan B in place should our strategy not work out. If in-person is just not feasible, then a phone call, and you're going to push them to give you a plan. And then at the end of that meeting, you're going to ask, if they don't do it already, for a recap of that plan, and write down the plan, write it down. And then also, to Andrea's point, you can either ask them when you'll expect to hear from them, or should you contact them to follow up?
Exactly right. And then just to touch on the nesting and the kids stuff, it all goes back to run this stuff by your attorney. Run this stuff by your attorney. Make sure that you're doing things the right way, the kosher way. Think through all of this. If you have an attorney and a therapist, which you all should have a therapist, then I want you to talk to everybody. Get the whole crew involved and you're going to be okay. And look, you're already one step ahead of the game because you're listening to this show. So give yourself some credit where credit is due. You're listening to this show. You are taking time out of your day to be more informed, and you're doing things right, kid. You're going to be all right.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I want to go back to and recap potentially this order of protection. So because we didn't really have the best direction in the questions,
yeah,
I want to give this a second chance. So if you have actually directed questions for us, or a little more detail. We'd be happy to answer questions in another episode. But I do want to tell you that there are options for you. There is an emotion of some sort or some kind of agreement that potentially could work out to get a new supervisor. Remember to always have a therapist on board if possible for your children, depending on if they are age appropriate, to back you up. And if you are having supervised parenting time or your ex is having supervised parenting time, stop thinking about 50-50 right now. Just do your best. You're doggy paddling right now. 50-50 is like climbing over a mountain right now. So unless there's something that I don't know about it, you just need to do your best and be the best parent that you can be at this time.
Well said. And at the same time, we know that that's easier said than done. So again, we're sending thoughts your way. So many people who listen to this show, and one of your hosts included, has been through this. This is not easy. This is a tough, rough, fucked up process. We get that. We don't say it lightly. And something else that I want to talk about, there's a reason why we try to joke around on this show. It's not because we're being flippant about the subject. It's because you need to laugh. You need that moment of levity. You need the light with the dark. God, if you could see me right now, I'm sitting here in my like oversized pajamas, curled up in a corner, sitting next to like sweaty workout clothes. My kids are like in the background yelling at me. They should be asleep. They're not. They're watching YouTube videos, cackling their heads off. I'm not even sure if you could hear them in the background. You probably could. But life is tough. Life is tough, but you can laugh a little. And on your hardest days, that's when you need to laugh the most. So we hope that you turn to our show for not only the information that we give you, but hopefully some of that humor too.
And if you want me to be nasty to your ex, this is the week to do it. Just give me their email address. I will call them. I will email them. I will send them a nasty gram, because when I get out of this funk, I'm going to be nice Morgan again.
Ooh, nasty gram. Nasty. Nasty gram.
She's nasty.
Miss Nasty. What is it? Miss Nasty. What is it? God, now I can't remember how that song goes. Oh, Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. God, I messed up the whole thing. We had such a cute bit going. Forget
it. It's okay.
I got to get off this floor. My fat ass is becoming one with the carpet. By the way, love that I didn't get any hate mail yet today by talking about my fat ass on last week's episode, but I think it's coming. I think coalition is going to message me saying,
yeah, it really wasn't body positive that you were talking about your fat ass.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about something better than a fat ass, which is the banana bread that you had to send out. Did you make it yet? And are you sending that out? I gave you the recipe.
Put me out on Front Street. No, I haven't made the banana bread yet because I hate bananas. Let it be known. Hate them. Never buy them. Hate them. Bought them. And I'm watching them brown up the way they're supposed to so you can make this banana bread. And my kid keeps eating them. He keeps eating the bananas and it's making me crazy. So I'm going out of town tomorrow for the weekend. I got to go to Texas to see the family. But when I return from the Lone Star State, banana bread will be happening.
Okay.
And it will get shipped out to that lucky listener. She's
excited about that. She's super excited.
She messaged us, banana bread.
She's not so going to be disappointed.
I'm excited for her. It's going to be delectable. So,
all right.
Okay, let's bring this thing to a close, shall we?
Let's do it.
Friends, we're here for you. We are so appreciative of all of you who not only listen to the show, but the ones who email us, the ones who DM us, those of you in our private community. You mean so much to us, and we are so honored that we can be a very small part of your journey to the next best chapter of your life.
Yep. And we know that divorce is draining, that it is tough. Some days you are doggy paddling, but remember, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And some days are hour by hour, not even day by day. And that is okay. You just need to know when your day is like my day today.
and just throw in the towel because tomorrow is going to be a better day.
That's right. And on those hard days, we're here for you. On those good days, we're here for you. On the really, really hard days, go over to our private community. Go find us. The How Not to Suck at Divorce community is free to everybody on Facebook. There's a direct link in the show notes to go join. Join us. It's a good old time. When you have a spare moment, send us a rating and a review on Apple. It would mean so much to us. It helps us bring on these high caliber guests that we're getting. And it just, I don't know, just makes us feel better about our lives as we're sitting next to dirty laundry. And I swear to God, I don't know if you can hear my kids in the background, but the volume of the TV is getting louder and it's sending me over the edge. So okay, we got to bring
a meltdown.
Okay. I'm like, literally, I'm starting to sweat. You guys, you have to turn it down. Seriously. And everyone heard that. And I don't care. It's like,
you're over it.
Cranking it up. Cranking it up.
All right. So stay tuned. We have some really cool episodes coming up that we cannot announce yet, but you're going to love them. So check in next week. We hope to announce some of the really exciting ones coming up soon. And hang in there. Send us a message. But remember this, you have got this and we've got you.
For more support, please join our private communities on Facebook and Patreon. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast is executively produced by Andrea Rappaport.